Thank you, Shannon and Jesse. Thank you. Our Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, reading verses 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And our New Testament lesson is 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, reading verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you still are not ready. For if you are still of the flesh, for as long as there's jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of us this morning intentionally got some kind of exercise this week? Raise your hand. It could be a sport. Lots of hands. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, all the high school, you know, the kids, y'all are all doing that. Well, that's good. I mean, it counts if you went running or walking or went to the gym or played a sport. And for me, that's choosing life. And you can choose life in other ways too. I mean, your body gets better from exercise. You can choose life also by the way you eat, you know, making a smoothie, or like what she does, she adds spinach to everything. That's choosing life right there. Cut down on processed food. You're choosing to be healthy. And our scripture today from Deuteronomy is asking us to choose life. And asking us in verses 19 and 20 are the ones I'm going to focus on. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days. So God's saying to the people of Israel, look, I'm giving you a choice, life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose the good one. Now, you may wonder, why would anybody choose the bad one? You know, why would anybody choose death over life or cursing over blessings? It seems like everybody would. But, you know, like this, I didn't do any exercise this week. I didn't raise my hand. I usually do, but I didn't this week. I had too many other things. And it was nasty weather a few days. It rained. That's my excuse. But usually I walk and I go to Planet Fitness, but didn't this week. So that's one of the problems about choosing life is that you have this entropy, that you have this you kind of laziness that you say, well, I'll do that later, you know. And it takes some effort to choose life. And that may be why many people don't. But there are people who actually choose death. I mean, you can passively not choose life, but there are people who choose death. Anybody who's addicted, they're addicted to any kind of drug or chemical. You know, when they take it, it may feel like life to them, but they know at some level that they're choosing death. Little by little, they're choosing death. You know, and all of us, I guess, have had friends who, or friends of friends who have passed away because of drug use. You know, that's a choice. I mean, at a certain point, it was a choice, and then it stops being a choice. There are people, you know, and I get this so well. Sometimes it's so, life seems too much to bear, and so people commit suicide. And the rate of suicide last year went up in our country. There were over 47,000 people who committed suicide in the United States. And that's that many of our friends and neighbors choosing death over life. So I think it's important for us to think about what it means to choose life, that it's not just automatically we're going to go for the good stuff. You know, sometimes we, because of our lives, because of what's going on, we may feel more like not choosing life. And so let's look at this. The context of this is that the people of Israel, this is the whole story about Moses, you know, taking them out of Egypt, and then they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then right when he's saying these things to them, they are right poised on to cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land, into Canaan. And so God has said this to Moses, okay, before they do that, set before them this choice of life and death. And I wonder if people sometimes, because they've been in the wilderness for so long, they just can't choose life anymore. It's just taken the life out of them in a way. Rachel Head Evans has a book that is called Inspired, and she was talking about that very thing about wilderness, and she says this, "In the Bible, the wilderness is a place of danger and desolation, creeping with wild animals and threatening with rugged, parched terrain. In life, it's that long journey through grief, those years between calls with your grown kid, a season of caregiving that stretches your reservoirs of patience and perseverance, the aftermath of the divorce, the season of doubt, the period between jobs, in between jobs, or in between relationships, or in between diagnosis and healing. The wilderness, in the wilderness, God can seem very far away or absent altogether. It may take weeks, months, or even years to get back on track again. In the meantime, every well, every drop of manna, every raven bearing bread in its beak is salvation." And I thought she said that so well about all those very specific things that happen in our lives that make us feel like we're in the wilderness. And so those are the people, the whole nation of Israel has been in a wilderness like that. They've been sad. They've been depressed. They've never thought they'd be there. They've been frustrated. And finally, they're on the way to getting into the Promised Land. And so that is the context in which we're saying these things. And I want to say this. I am really excited about being able to share this with you because when I looked at it, I was not, you know, really sure, you know, what this was saying. But it's so clear. And it's almost, this may come across like a Bible study to you because I'm just going to go right through it and look at these verses. And so let's look at what God says when he says choose life. Because what I want is for every one of us here to choose life and to have something specific that we're going to do, that we're going to start as we leave here, that you know, you say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to choose life with this week. So verse 19, Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. And you know, think about that. You and your descendants, it applies to your descendants. Now, you guys in high school and college, you know, you don't have descendants, I don't think, yet. But those of us who do have descendants, and some of grand descendants, you know, you realize how we are, our relationship with God has a way of impacting our children and our family and our grandchildren. And if we are practicing these things that this Deuteronomy passage is teaching us today, it's going to impact our kids to choose life, and it's going to impact their children to choose life. And that's really important. You can see how families fall apart and nobody's able to reverse it for generation to generation. I always think it's always good to pick a few things that you didn't get when you were growing up from your family and try to change it. That you say, okay, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be different when I have my kids. And that's always a positive thing to think about. So this affects your descendants, is what he's saying. Your descendants. Okay, so how do we do this? What is it? Choosing life? The first thing he says, and this may be hard to understand, he says it means loving the Lord your God. Now, the first thought I have when I hear this is like, oh man, if that means I got to have a warm, cozy feeling about God, I'm in trouble on some days. You know, I can't do that some of the time. If it's just feeling loving for God, Frederick Buechner has a thing. He says, you might as well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. But loving God is what you do. I mean, it may have a feeling component, but it's what you do. It's actions that you take to show your love for God. I'm going to read the whole thing. Not the whole thing, but I'm going to read a little bit of that Buechner quote because it's so good. He said, in the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of the will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he's not telling us to love them in the sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can as well as produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, he's telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being to that end. So that means that you can love someone without necessarily liking them, and you can do that, apply that to God. You can, even if you don't feel a lot of gratitude to God or like overwhelming sense of love for God, you can make a decision to do loving things for God and to God. And that to me is good news because I don't always feel those feelings. But loving God is to do something to work for God's well-being. And so what could you do to love God more? What could you do? And this is important. Try to think of one of these things that you'll do this week to love God more. Just pick one. So it might mean coming to church on Sunday. You know, a lot of people are still kind of going to pajama church, you know, listening on the radio, listening online, that kind of thing. We recently had a couple start coming who had been listening online for 2 years, and their New Year's resolution was to start coming. Because something happens in the sanctuary that is more powerful than what happens when you're just sitting around your living room multitasking, you know, kind of listening, but also, you know, kind of cleaning up, you know, while you're there. In here, you see other Christians. In here, you can feel the sense of worship with the music and with the Holy Spirit. And it's important. So that's one little thing you can do is try to worship. Try to get your feet out and in a car and get to the church on Sunday morning. What's another way you can love the Lord your God? It might mean volunteering to work here at the church, just to do some of the things the church is doing. Helping out with the pancake breakfast or helping out with some of the projects that we're going to do. The session has got a lot of stuff planned, and pretty soon we're going to have a flow chart out in the narthex. It's going to show you all this stuff. It's going to need you guys. It's going to need all of us to be a part of what we're doing. And that's one way you can show love for God is by working, doing the work of the church. Third way, and this may seem so Presbyterian and dry, serving on a church committee. It is work. You know, you have to do extra work. You have to do stuff. But our committees need participation. We need people on them. That is a way to show God that you love. And like we have new members class, loving God may be to actually join the church, to make a commitment to the church to be here. So there's a lot of other things you could do, but try to find one change, just one, from today on, where you could love God more or love God differently. That would not, again, not as an emotional feeling, but as something you would do for God. Name it and then do it. Okay, so the first thing he says, choosing life is loving the Lord your God. Second thing he says in verse 19 is, he says that choosing life means obeying God. Now, I think y'all are nice people, you know, really. Y'all are really good people. I brag on this church about how good it is, how nice it is. And so I think we're all probably doing okay with at least 8 out of the 10 commandments. You know, I mean, probably mess up a couple here and there, but, you know, you're 80%, I bet. You know, that's pretty good. But there are other things. We kind of avoid the big sins. But then you hear, like, our scripture from last week about dividing your bread with the hungry. You hear Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God, to do justice. How do we do that? Well, it means that we advocate for people that are discriminated against. We help those who are suffering from food insecurity. We welcome returning citizens who need to provide for their families. We include people who are excluded from the church. We welcome lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer people into our fellowship because they have been so excluded by the church historically. In the coming months, Trinity is going to offer you a chance to do justice and to love kindness and to reach out to our neighbors around here in need. And if you want to choose life by obeying the Lord your God, join this ministry to our neighbors when it's offered. Okay, so those are the first two. Choosing life is loving the Lord your God. Second, choosing life means obeying God. And the third one, and this is really cool. I just have never seen this before. You know, I like to preach in the New Testament. I don't know if you noticed. And I don't know. My expectations of Old Testament scriptures are kind of tamped down, you know. But this is really deep, and it's really cool. He says choosing life means holding fast to God. Holding fast to God. That's right there in verse 19. They've been in the wilderness, and maybe you have too. And what holding fast to God means is that in good and bad times, it takes effort to stay with God. That there's something trying to pull you away. Holding fast to God implies, you know, like, you know, something is pulling you away. And it can be bad times. It can be, you know, a terrible upbringing. It can be people who are mean to you. It can be abuse. It can be bullying. It can also be good times. And this is so interesting. They're about to go into the good times. They're about to leave the wilderness and cross the Jordan into good times. And that's when God picks to say this, is that hold fast to God. That holding fast to God is a way to choose life. And that means hold on. Because something is pulling you away. It's going to try to pull you away. So here's some things that I think you can stay hold fast to God. One, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. And that means, you know, my job is to preach the Word here. Elizabeth's job is to preach the Word here. We're going to preach the Word here. So that's coming here and hearing the Word. But second, you do it too. You know, read the Bible on your own. You know, come to Bible study or listen to one online if you can't make it on Tuesday night. Some people memorize scripture, but staying in the Word and having the Word in you is one way to hold fast to God. Okay, the second thing is this is just something you can do. Have a daily prayer life. Find a time. And let me tell you that it's okay if you decide at night when you get in bed to have your prayer life when you go to bed and you fall asleep, it's okay. Can you imagine if you have a child who falls asleep in your lap? That's the way God feels. God's not mad if you fall asleep praying. A lot of times when we get up in the morning, man, we got to get going. We got to go to work. We got to go to school. We got to get all this stuff done. It's not the best time to pray. And then the day goes on. But find a time every day to have a daily prayer life. I really do try to do it. And even if it's just in my mind going, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so. But do that. Try to have a daily prayer life. So stay in the Word. Have a daily prayer life. And again, come to worship. Come be in the sanctuary. Don't just listen. Don't, you know, go multitasking while worship is cleaning up the house, while worship's going on. Come to worship. Come inside. Sit down. Worship. Worship God. That is how you hold fast. And it doesn't mean everything is, it's not a formula where you pull this chain and your life's going to, all good things are going to happen. You're going to have adversity, you know, whether you're doing this stuff or not. It's just that adversity or the good time is not going to keep you, pull you away from God. You'll be holding fast to God. Okay, so just remember, these three things, choosing life means to love your God by doing things for God. Second, obey God by working for justice. And three, hold fast to God in your daily personal prayer life, your study and worship. You know, we have a second scripture today in 1 Corinthians. And it's just worth noting that Paul is saying to those folks about how they could grow. He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. And it's the analogy of a child. You know, there's a bottle stage with a child, and then you start giving them those little nasty-looking crushed-up things, you know, carrots or whatever. And they graduate into where they can finally eat, you know, steak and stuff. But the analogy is, it's a developmental process spiritually. And that was normal from Paul's day on. We developed it spiritually. And it doesn't matter what age you start at, you can grow spiritually in your life. And he says at the end of that scripture, he said, God gives the growth. It's God who gives the growth. So if you want to deepen your Christian life, you want to deepen your spirituality, you know, choose life in doing these things. If you just pick one of these things I mentioned, you will grow faster. You will grow deeper. And your life, it will change your life. And it'll help you get through these times of adversity. It'll help you get through wilderness times. And it's something you can do. That's why I always think it's such good news, when it's something you can do, that it's not just like, God, help me. It's something you can do. I love that part of it. So whether you are a baby in Christ or middle school in Christ, or teenager in Christ, or college student in Christ, or young adult in Christ, or mature adult in Christ, wherever you are is okay. But the idea is to grow, up in Christ and become mature. So what is one thing that you can do? Just think of it, that you can leave here and change one thing about your life, that I can love God differently. I can serve God differently. What's one thing you can do? I don't know what that is, but I think that it's worth us all having a chance to say, okay, I'll do that. And I'm just going to close by reading the scripture again and have us keep that on our minds, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you give us a way to grow, to go from drinking milk to eating solid food. Put in our minds ways that we can love you more and love you better, things that we can change and differently that we can do to deepen our walk with you. Lord, be with those who are still in the wilderness, who are injured from things that may have happened years ago that are still with them, from medical diagnoses and struggle with disease, from griefs that go on and on and on, even if time keeps ticking by. There's so many ways we walk in the wilderness, and yet, God, help us to hold fast to you in that. So we give our futures to you. We give our walk to you. In Jesus' name, amen.